Oh man, it's nothing like 2 a.m. on a Saturday night, I guess technically a Sunday morning, to drop a quick episode that normally I probably wouldn't do, but you know, some things kind of happened, so it's kind of necessary, and I said I would, so here I am. As Drake would say, I guess, it's indeed the scary hours right now. I will take you through my Saturday, how that all went. And plenty of Duke stuff involved in that. So this morning I had to get up super early. It was definitely still pitch black dark outside when I had to be up. Had to go to a wedding. And my whole thing was to plan around, you know, it was a little bit of a drive. So get up, get the drive done, do the wedding. Had to be in the wedding. You know, be nice to everybody, eat a ton of food as much as I can, and get back home for the game. That, like, as long as I could plan that to fall in the right time zone, I'll be good. So it ended up working out. Got back home, ready for the game. Me and Presley were just chilling, like, yes, pretty long day. Get to just relax and watch the boys. You know, they were like a 30-point favorite against Pittsburgh today. And I expected that to go as they said, pretty much. And it did. They won by, how much did they win by? Almost 30, 27 or something like that. The moral of the story is, as I started watching the first half and saw the little Grayson Allen, the flagrant foul that they hit on him, and I was kind of mad about that. Next thing I know, I'm waking up at like 6:30, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? I was so fucking tired and food comaed out, tired, on the couch, cozy as can be. Next thing I know, I'm waking up, it's like 6:45 or 6:30 around there, and I'm like, I need Chick-fil-A, and what the hell happened to the game? You know, if you're looking for a specific insight on the game, all I can say is they did good. Normally, I would never fall asleep. I usually never take naps. And if a game's on, I will never fall asleep. But this one just, I feel like if anyone to fall asleep on, this one was the one. Looking into it a little bit, a few minutes here and there, and scrolling through Twitter. I mean, obviously, Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter stated themselves as, we're the big dudes, and you're not going to do nothing about us. Grayson Allen seemed to find his shot a little better than the past four or five games, which it hasn't been. It's been non-existent. 4 for 10 from three, so it was there. And hopefully he can build off of that. And then Swaggy Trent, Gary Trent, the man-child, the beast, the sniper, whatever you want to call him, you know, 5 for 7 from three, and it didn't take long for him to do that. His stroke is still there, and I hope it stays there, because that's huge. Obviously, when he's hitting and when Grayson's hitting, the team is multidimensional, and you literally have to worry about every single player on the floor. With that starting lineup, if they don't turn the ball over and Duvall makes smart decisions, the shooters are hitting, and the big men are establishing themselves down low. Also with the way that Bagley can stretch the floor, handle the ball, even Wendell can knock down a three. Combine all those things together with not turning the ball over, the team is absolutely outstanding on offense, and it's one of the scariest matchups for anyone, because every single position is someone that if they're hot, you are in deep trouble. Then offensive rebounding, the whole gist that we talk about every time. Every time we see a good thing out of Duke, we say, if they can just do this for 40 minutes, oh my God. But the thing is just how many different ways they can beat you. That if they're all clicking at once, it's like, oh my God. If you're playing against them, you're just like, I mean, can we just kind of forfeit? Like, but you can say all of that about offense, but the main thing that helps the offense is defensive stops. And without that, You know, if you score 100 points, but you let the other team score 110 points, your offense can be as good as you want it to be. You have to get stops. That's one of the main things for this team right now. But the guards finding their shot and finding their rhythm, I think that's one of the other really important things for this team, because the big men are established and they're rebounding. You know, the way you can almost give Bagley the ball every single possession, and if he misses it, Carter comes down with it for a dunk. That's huge. But stretching the floor and spacing the floor and knowing that, hey, we got to close out on these shooters, that's big too, because you're not going to see as many double teams for Bagley. The paint isn't going to be as crowded. And if they do want a double team, then you actually have the threat to knock down the outside jump shot. If they're 0 for 10 from 3, you can crowd Bagley and Carter as much as you want, because you want them to take the 3 if they're hitting it at 10%. But the shot's going to come and go either way. They're not always going to shoot 50% from 3. Sometimes it's going to be 10%, as we've seen. That's why it's important that they're multidimensional and that they just don't turn the ball over. Duvall can get around anyone. The pick and roll is effective as can be if they run it. And every shot can turn into 3 shots if you think about the way they offensively rebound. So that sounds weird. The way they rebound on the offensive end. It's just important to play defense, improve defense, and don't turn the ball over. But yeah, good to see their shots falling. That's huge. Delorier's back. He played 10 minutes, so good to see him back. You know, White got some burn because they was whipping ass so bad. Robinson, Vrank, Goldwire, O'Connell. All of their minutes only amounted to 2 bench points from Vrank, believe it or not, but it didn't matter today. But good to see the bench getting some minutes, and hopefully they can just provide a spark, provide some, you know, a few minutes for everyone when it gets tough. And then hopefully, you know, a few buckets here and there as well. So, as I said, I missed some of the game. I kind of hit the snooze button. And then, obviously, it's time to go to Chick-fil-A. That's the, when there's nothing else to do on Saturday, Chick-fil-A never lets us down. So we head up there. You know, we're just chilling, happy about the win. Had a good day and just ate Chick-fil-A, so you know, all those things put together, it's a pretty damn good Saturday. And then I'm about to walk out, texting Matt Long. Shout out to Matt. He's asking me, his Wi-Fi is terrible where he's at, and he's asking me, did Zion commit yet? And I'm like, oh, shit. I haven't been on Twitter because I've been driving and at this wedding and all this stuff and sleeping, obviously. And I haven't even been on my phone today, so I forgot all about it. And also, Duke wasn't anywhere near the favorite for Zion with Cam Reddish and RJ and everything. His position is a little crowded. It doesn't mean that it can't work. It's just you could see why that would be a reason for him to go elsewhere to try to shine instead of just mold in with talent. The thing is about that is you've seen it with Duke and you've seen it with Kentucky. Talent overcomes playing with other talent. Just because you're not putting up 40 a game doesn't mean the scouts don't see what you are. Winning seems to be, if you win and you're playing on the biggest stage, I think that's what matters. Your skill set is going to show no matter who you're playing with. I think it actually hurts you if you go play for a shitbag team. It doesn't necessarily hurt you draft wise, but development wise, like, he's going to be basically playing on eventually every player in the starting lineup next year will probably be in the NBA. So it's not like he's playing for an NBA team, but the talent. So to start molding around that and showing his skill set through that, I don't think it's a bad thing if his stats suffer a little. But as you're seeing with Marvin Bagley, all the talent on this team, he's still putting up record-breaking numbers. So I'm not saying Zion Williamson is going to put up Marvin Bagley numbers. I'm just saying the excuse of they already have a good recruiting class, that's sort of dying out because It's the best coach. It's the biggest stage. And you always want to play with talent. That makes you better. When you have a great point guard, when you have a great, you know, wing guy beside you, whatever it is, great shooters around you, it's going to make you better. So I don't really like that excuse. But if you do have three great players sort of in the same position, it's understandable. But college basketball is sort of becoming positionless, you know. I mean, you've seen Jason Tatum almost run the five at times. And you've seen Jason Tatum run the three at times. Small ball, going big, Marvin Bagley bringing it up the court. These are all things showing you that just because you're a three doesn't mean if you have two other three small forwards on your team, one of them's going to play power forward. One of them's big enough to run the five. Like, I'm not getting too far into this right now, but just that excuse of that's the reason he's not going to come. Yeah, it's a possibility, but it's not 100%. So anyway, I'm like, oh, shit, Zion's committing today. And Presley's like, oh, I forgot because we haven't been on our phones. And I'm like, I need to check. I thought he had already committed. And it's like, oh, seconds away. And I'm like, damn, he's probably going to Clemson. That was my gut feeling. And, you know, those photos that I tweeted out of him in a Duke jersey, they were real photos. And I know that. Like I said, with the Duval situation, Duval was there a week ahead of time or a few weeks ahead of time taking his commitment photos or whatever it was. And he was in the jersey. And it was rumored he was there. He was denying it. And he ended up committing. So I'm like, sort of like that situation. But at the same time, you've seen players take photos in jerseys of colleges and not commit there. It happens. So you can't sign that off as, oh, that means he's coming to Duke. And you can't sign it off as, oh, it means nothing. So it was just like, oh, that's interesting. That gave me a little glimpse of, could this happen? Like, could this happen? I never write it off until it's wrote off. But I just didn't think so. So Matt is texting me saying it's probably going to be Clemson, if I had to guess. And I'm, you know, I'm sending back, yeah, that would be my guess too, but who knows? You know, his list was long. I'm not too sure exactly who it was. I know it was like Kentucky, Clemson, South Carolina, Duke, North Carolina. And it's like good list of schools, so anything could happen. And Duke fans, you know, we've been so blessed with just almost every recruit that we could ask for, it feels like. And like, the rich get richer, I guess. So I just finished eating. We're about to walk out. And I'm like, damn, let's go get in the truck and just refresh Twitter until we see what happens. And I wasn't that, you know, like I said, I just figured, probably Clemson. And as I just got up from the table, Matt texted me again and said, Duke. In all caps. And I'm just like, oh my God. And the way I looked at Presley and the way I acted walking out of Chick-fil-A once I refreshed Twitter and seen that Zion Williamson is coming to Duke, realizing that Duke now has the number one, number two, and number three player in the ESPN Top 100 recruiting class, three talents that are basically positionless. The skill sets, the raw talent, the talent that they have, each one has a different skill set that just, it's crazy. Then you add in the fact that who's returning this year is too early to talk about. Then you add in Trey Jones. Trey Jones is special. I don't get into recruiting the way that some people do. It seems like it takes a lot of time and the talent that some of these players play against is like, it doesn't really transition to college sometimes because the defense and the one-on-one and just a lot of things of that nature. So I just like it when they get to Duke. Then I get to see what they're made of. But Trey Jones, obviously, his brother's Tyus Jones. If you don't know that by now, he puts up huge numbers in the sense of he competes on both ends of the floor. He makes genius, smart IQ plays, smart decisions, the same way Tyus did. And you can tell he's not afraid of anything. He's going to score. He's going to assist. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to defend, get steals. He's going to do whatever it takes. And that's who you want running the floor. So him coming in together with that talent is almost like the glue to the talent. He could be the glue that makes everything work. If a good decision maker has the ball in his hands with great talent around him, I mean, it's a pretty good start for a key to success, in my opinion. So that's what happened in 2015. But every situation is different. So the way we walked out of there, you would have thought we hit the lottery. You would have thought I won the Powerball. That's what you would have thought. Everybody was looking at me like, what's this motherfucker doing? Like, did he just win free Chick-fil-A for life? I probably would have been less excited. I don't know. It's neck and neck. You would have thought I won free Chick-fil-A for life, though. Let's just put it that way. And I'm going out and see this dude who works there, and he's like, what's going on, man? I'm like, Zion Williamson just committed to Duke. And he's just like, yeah, go Tar Heels, baby. I'm like, yeah, cool, dude. For sure. So, overall, he committed to Duke. And, you know, I went and watched. I've already seen his highlights. You know, Zion's one of the most famous high school athletes that's come into college. He's been on SportsCenter dunking more times than I think I've seen, you know. And with the way the digital age is now, he's been on Twitter, Instagram. He's huge. Drake is big fan of Zion. So if he hops on the bandwagon, I don't know. You know, he's Kentucky, whatever. It just seems like the talent that Duke is bringing in, it just seems like more and more famous people are going to start being like, yeah, Duke game, baby. Like, we on the bandwagon now. Don't really want that, but he's going to bring such a excitement. It's crazy. I'm struggling to get my words together about just how crazy that is, that Zion, I don't know what the crystal ball ended at, but I know it was at like 90% Clemson at one point. And Coach K had that virus, and I think he went for an in-home visit with Zion that week, which was like last week or something like that. And he basically secured the bag at that point. And Zion's just in awe, and just like every other player that comes to Duke, they want to play for Coach K while they have the chance. They want to go about their career saying that they went to college to play for Coach K and to play for Duke. Also with that, like I said, you're on the biggest stage. You have the most viewers, the best fan base. That's biased, but I think it's true also. They have the most, you know, the most followers on Twitter, social media. Any game that's going to be the most watched game, whether it be because they're watching because they hate Duke or watching because they love Duke or watching because they want to just see the talent and don't care, it's going to be at Duke. It's been proven for 5 years in a row, probably longer than that, but guaranteed for 5 years in a row. They're always in the top three. Two of the top three games are going to be Duke, viewership-wise. ACC conferences, in my opinion, the most competitive conference. The UNC rivalry, you want to be a part of that. You want to put your, you know, you want to put your stamp on that. You want to put your memory on that. And all that adds up to the top three recruits coming to Duke. Just when you think, you know, the recruiting class becomes the best that it'll ever be, the most talent coming in one class than it'll ever be, that doesn't always turn into a championship. I'm just saying, from the beginning standpoint of, look at the talent that's coming in. When you think he's done all that could possibly be done, speaking of Coach K, he just one-ups himself. He's not competing with anyone else at this point. He just keeps one-upping himself. But for me, I just want that to turn into a championship this year and a championship next year. No reason for it to not happen that way. And once it does, I'll be so happy about that. Nobody is going to be able to tell me anything. If you ever want to argue with me, which if you know me, you know I don't sit there and argue back and forth with statistics or analysis on who's won more, who's better right now. It speaks for itself. You know, UNC got the flukiest championship last year, I think, of all time that I've ever watched through the whole tournament. The games they scraped by with, how shitty they shot the ball. The reason why they got through is because they were old and they could rebound. That's it. And they really didn't have to play nobody that was, you know, top tier. But they beat Kentucky in that crazy game. And then the championship game was one of the worst games I've ever watched. One of the worst reffed games I've ever watched. And they got away with it. And they didn't go to class. And they got away with that too. And Oregon gave the game away like six times when they played in the tournament. But all that leads up to, they won the championship last year. So that taste is in everyone's mouth. And UNC is going to use that as a, what's the word? As like a bookmark. Like, yeah, but who's the champions, bitch? Who's the champions, you fucking bum? So, all that talent, look who the champions are. I mean, that's one way to do it, is to underdevelop your players and make them stay 4 years so you can compete. But, you know, they won, so this year is the time to use this insanely loaded team to come together as a unit and win the championship. And they have every reason in the world to do the exact same thing next year. So you just have to enjoy this year and just hope that things go well for the rest of the season. And I don't care if they go into the tournament as a as the number one favorite, or as, you know, the 2 through 5 favorite group. I don't care. I hate that target being on their back of like, they have Marvin Bagley and they're so talented and they can be the toughest team. They keep getting everybody's best shot. But at the end of the day, that's fine, because you're going to be the consensus champion when you get everyone's best shot and you beat everyone. But as the 2015 team came together as a truly good defense, maybe great defense, that's one of the reasons why they were able to win the championship. So the same thing has to happen for this team. But like I said, he committed. You would have thought I won the fucking Powerball. And if I do ever win the Powerball, I will find some way to just get season tickets for whoever listens to this, and we will all just go into Cameron every single home game, just ganging like we are big shots. And at that point, I'll probably go shirtless, body paint. I don't even know. I might just get Duke tattooed on my forehead at that point. Who's going to tell me? Like, what are you going to tell me at that point? I'll probably also be broke in like 3 years if I win the Powerball. So, but still, document that. Keep that in mind. If that ever happens, season tickets for everyone. That's one thing about Cameron. It's like, it's the best arena ever, and you don't want to change it. Stadium, court, whatever you want to call it. You don't want to change it because of how great of an atmosphere, how great the advantage, the home court advantage, the winning percentage, the history behind it. But it's like, damn, fucking 9,000 seats. I live so close, and it's like a great game is $3,000 for tickets. It's like, fuck. Sometimes I wish there was 25,000 seats up in that place. I think we still pack it out. But then games like Pittsburgh wouldn't be lit and crazy and wild. So I don't want it to change, but it would be nice if, you know, I could get into a UNC game for under $2,000. I've been to watch Seth Curry torch UNC at the shit dome. I haven't ventured into that at Duke yet, and that's the main reason, is simply the insane price point. I mean, I wouldn't change it, so the atmosphere is, you can't find an atmosphere like that, and I don't think you'll ever be able to, and I hope it never changes. Coach K is never going to let it change as long as he's there. So be interesting to see what happens after that on down the road, say like 20, 25 years. It'll be interesting to see where Duke basketball is in 25 years. But luckily right now, it's in the absolute prime that it can be in. And it has been for a long time. As long as Coach K has been there, there's been ups and downs, but you cannot complain at all. So yeah, he committed. Then we went to the truck, blasted Drake, took videos, sent it to every, you know, every UNC fan that's ran their mouth ever. That's our friend and a few other people. Just so stoked about that. It's just like when you have that to look forward to and you get to enjoy this season as well, it's great. So that's enough on that. As I said, watch his highlight tapes, watch his dunk highlights, whatever you want to call those. You will be convinced that those dunk highlights, or if you watch his dunks, you will be fully convinced that they were taken on the moon where there's no gravity. That's the only way I'm believing it. The only other way I'm believing it is that his fucking dad is a Super Saiyan and like Vegeta or some shit. I don't even know Dragon Ball Z. I don't fuck with Dragon Ball Z like that. But I know what a Super Saiyan is. And I think his dad or mom has to be one. There's no way he's a human. And there's no way he's 17 years old and doing that kind of shit. Because when I was 17 years old, excuse me, it's 2 a.m. Well, 2:24 now. It's just not fair. It's just not fair, man. It's not fair. So whatever. So Super Saiyan Zion is now a Blue Devil, and I'm excited, if you didn't know. I know I'm rambling, but that's what happens when people tell me to blast this out at 2 a.m., and I just do it. Tomorrow I'll be watching football and just daydreaming about what's to come for Duke. Obviously, they will play Wake on Tuesday. I will be there. Hit me up. Should be a fun one. I mean, I've been to Wake Forest games ever since I was a kid, watching, you know, the Duhon and Chris Paul battles and things like that. So this is obviously nowhere near that competitive, but it'll be fun just to go. And then get ready for that tough Virginia game at Duke on Saturday at 2 p.m. It's going to be a slower pace, and it's going to be tough. They lock up on defense, and they try to make you play their game. But I think Duke's game for it, and I think they'll beat Virginia. But it's going to be a tough one, and I'm really excited to watch that. Other than that, I guess that's basically it. You know, Notre Dame after that, and then St. John's, and then UNC at UNC on February 8th at 8 p.m. I hope they whoop their ass. I need that. I need that victory in my life. And I don't need a loss from that, because I don't want to put my phone on airplane mode for like 3 days. Maybe like a whole week. I don't want to do that. So come through with a victory, please, on that. I've heard enough. And that's it. So appreciate you rocking with me. It's 2:30 a.m. But I had to blast something out, so that's that. As far as the actual what Zion brings to the table, you know, I haven't seen him enough in competitive games to to actually know. I just know he's very confident, very fucking athletic, and he's a monster. So give that to Coach K and just see what happens. I'm sure other people are more than glad to break down every aspect that they've ever seen from him in high school, as long as the other recruits, but that's not what I do. I just kind of talk shit and say what I think and listen to what other people say and comment on that too, and then comment about what makes me happy, which is Duke basketball, and sleep, which I'm about to go do right now. So I'll get this up. I'll be at the weight game, probably figure out some type of episode right after that or something. Maybe a car episode where I'm just riding in the car talking with whoever goes with me. But I just don't want the audio to be all like shit because the car exhaust or noise. So I don't know how that'll work out. Maybe I'll do some tests and see if that'll work out. Other than that, if you're as happy as I am about Zion, just tell people about it. Oh, and the death threats that he was receiving and the hate. The hate and the injury hopes and the death threats and the bigotry and the bullshit. I really hope he doesn't fucking read that stuff. I hope people like him do not look into that stuff and let it affect them. It's just fucking people who are unsatisfied with their life that really let the decision of a 17-year-old kid of where he wants to go to college, which is a great choice, by the way, let it affect them that much to where they hope that he dies. If you do that, you are such a fucking weird person. You are so messed up. You need to get help. But that's the platform of the internet. It's just what happens on the internet. People say shit like that that I don't even know if they mean. They just know they can get away with it. And it's kind of shitty. It's really shitty. To me, I think you should just if you say anything like that, there should be some algorithm that bans you from the internet for life. I'll probably be saying it more when he wins the championship, so. We'll just be over here laughing all the way, and they'll be salty, so. It's nothing new for us. It's what Duke fans and Duke players, anybody affiliated with Duke basketball, is what they deal with. And that's that. Talk to you soon. Hit me up on Twitter. Appreciate everyone. Duke gang. I'm sleep.